Blog Talk Radio.
Week was a sad week for the wrestling fans and for the wrestling industry as a whole, because we lost the great Dusty Rhodes, and that fucking sucks. That fucking sucks, and that was dead air. Anyway, yo, can you hear me?
I hear you, brother.
Okay, sorry for the technical difficulties. This is the first show. But, yeah, like I was saying, we lost Dusty this week, and that fucking sucks. Dusty was probably the greatest, next to Ric Flair, the greatest dude to work a mic in the wrestling business.
I mean, it just goes to show, he was helping out NXT cats. People try to model themselves after him. The great Ric Flair modeled himself after Dusty Rhodes. And we definitely lost legends.
Yeah, Ric Flair wanted to be Ramblin' Ricky Rhodes when he started. So what's that tell you?
Sir.
But I put up that Hard Times promo on my Facebook page, and that, to me, is the greatest promo ever, because that dude, that emotion you felt when he gave that fucking promo, when he said, I'm going to stick my arm, my hand out, and I want you, everybody at home, to stick their hands out. Man, I was like 7 years old, my hand pointed right at that fucking TV.
Goosebumps,
just a
man.
Damn shame.
Goosebumps.
Of course.
Dusty was the one who you looked at when you weren't necessarily the Ric Flair fan, when you were more of a humble person, and Dusty was the one that you looked up to.
Hell yeah, and like you said, his high knee was a little big and his belly was a little round, but he was bad and he can go with anybody.
Yeah, elbow dropped the shit out.
Elbows to the forehead. And I go to turn on the network today to watch, they had a Dusty Rhodes documentary on there, and that shit is gone. So I'm like, I wonder if they're going to put that up as an exclusive now on the network. I play that shit once. Even though it was there like a week ago.
For anyone who hasn't watched it yet, in rivalry section of the network, Dusty versus Ric Flair, that's probably the best hour and a half piece of footage that you'll watch. It's amazing what they did.
Yeah, that was the best rivalry of the 80s.
Bigger than Hogan Piper, bigger than Hogan Andre. Well, maybe not bigger, but in terms of promos and matches, definitely better quality.
Bigger and better. Well, not bigger in terms of audience, because Hogan and Andre did draw 90-something thousand people. But as far as matches goes and promo, I mean, you couldn't get a promo out of Andre. I mean, that's why they had Heenan there, but...
Of course.
Dusty and Rick will talk your ass in those seats.
Dusty had passion, man. I mean, I feel for Cody and I feel for Goldust because, you know, especially Cody, man, because you look where he's at in the company now and he's kind of getting buried. And every time he
gets
some momentum, you know?
Yeah, he gets shot down, but hopefully maybe they can turn this and use it, because the best gimmicks come from real life situations, and hopefully
exactly.
They can flip this around, and it can
you
be
know,
the son of the dream.
They're going to give the mic to Cody and Goldust on Raw, most likely. They're going to give them a chance to speak and acknowledge their father. And, I mean, it could be a resurgence of Cody Rhodes' character, which I really hope, because Cody offers a lot more than what Stardust has given. And that's just my personal opinion.
Stardust was cool at first, but it's like, it's one of those gimmicks. It's like, there's no longevity to it. It's like Adam Rose and fucking Fandango. There's no long-term investment for the fans.
Stardust worked when he was with Goldust. It made sense.
Exactly. And now it's like, okay, he's floundering around. They're going to feed him to the kid from fucking Arrow, and you know what's going to happen in that match. The kid from Arrow is going to beat him. And all that credibility is gone.
I mean, there's so many cats in NXT now that they're next up, and when they come up, they're going to make such a big impact. I fear for guys like Cody. I mean, your Jack Swagger, your Fandango. We're going to see a lot of future endeavors, man.
Yep, and poor friggin' Curtis Axel can't catch a break. But Axelmania is working out for him, so. But how, like I said, where's the longevity in that one?
There is no longevity. There's no longevity in Macho Mandow.
Nope. He was good with the Miz, but like WWE always does, they jumped the gun too fast. They split them up too quick. I mean, that stunt double shit was over, and it was hilarious.
But how long could the stunt double shit have gone?
I mean, you could have got a few more months out of it, but you didn't even get a payoff. There was no payoff to it. Little bullshit match on Raw.
They were never tag team champions?
Oh, shit. I don't even think so. I don't think they were. Oh, no, they were. Because remember, he was carrying a toy belt.
That's right. Okay.
He carried both belts, and Sandow had to carry the toy belt.
I mean, see, it worked, but once again, how long is that going to work? And then eventually when they split him, I really thought they were going to do something with Sandow. They gave him new music and all of this shit, and then the very next week he comes out as Randy Savage.
Yeah, but he ain't no Jay Lethal, I'll tell you that. Jay Lethal did the best Randy Savage ever.
Yeah, Jay Lethal, man. I met Jay Lethal in a Walgreens, and he was buying shampoo. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure he felt good about that one. He was like, oh, shit, somebody recognized me. The select few of us out there will recognize him. Most people will be like, who?
Yeah, I would say you pretty appreciate the fact that I knew who he was. I was kind of starstruck for a second. I was marking out. So I just creep into the shampoo aisle, and he's just looking at me, and he sees my face. And I just saw it in his eyes, man. He was happy about it.
Yeah, that's why wrestlers are probably the most appreciative when you meet them, because, like I said, a normal person, most normal people wouldn't know who the fuck they were. But somebody like us, we'll see them and make a big deal. Like, fucking CPA tweeted me on fucking Twitter, and I marked the fuck out. Most people, like, even most wrestling fans are like, who the fuck is CPA?
Man, first off, shout out to CPA. Shout out to Habib from the car wash.
Yeah, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, located based in New Jersey. If you're into independent wrestling, go check them out. Because them dudes, they break their asses, and each show is better than the next. And that's real talk.
I love going to PWS events, man, because it's a good price, you have a good time, and they don't just put on an hour and a half bullshit show. They're there for 24 hours, and you get your money's worth. It's really fun.
Yeah, last week I paid $30 to get in, and I got a damn near four-hour show. And on top of that, I make Jake the Snake Roberts, so everything was good with the world last week.
So what do you think about Money in the Bank, brother?
Money in the Bank, let's see. Well, what I would like to happen is I'd like to see Dean take the title and Roman cash in on him. Will that happen? Probably not. But I would love to see that. Because the Seth Rollins chicken shit heel is getting real stale.
I don't know, bro. I don't see Dean Ambrose ever be champ.
No, he'll be champ for about 5 minutes.
I don't know if he has faith in him.
For 5 minutes? All he has to do is hoist the title up, Roman's music comes on, cashes in, instant heat.
Yeah.
I mean, people hate him now.
If he ends up winning to just feed it to Roman, then I guess that makes sense. But for some reason, it's Dean Ambrose and his style. I love Dean Ambrose on the mic, but to actually get a run with it, I don't think that'll ever happen in his career.
Oh, no, he's not running with it anytime soon, no. But my whole thing is that would make Roman the most hated heel in the business right now. I mean, he's heated now pretty much, but he's kind of, the fans are kind of warming up to him. Now's the perfect time for them to flip the switch, turn them, and then build them.
Turn them and then build them, and then you got Brock coming back. And, you know, Brock is already a face by default, pretty much. He's the next Daniel Bryan.
Yep, exactly. You got fucking, you can evolve Roman Reigns the way they evolved The Rock. The Rock was, they brought Rock in as a milk-fed baby face, white bread smiling, I love the kids, I'm just happy to be here, and what happened? People shit all over him.
Die, Rocky, die.
Die, Rocky, die.
Exactly. And then Roman Reigns comes in, he's the no-shit-taking badass, what happened? It didn't work out because he was force-fed down people's throats. People turned on him. Evolve him that
way. I mean, I can't really front. Roman Reigns has come a long way since the Beanstalk and the nursery rhymes and all of that corny bullshit.
Well, that's what happens when Roman writes your promos. You can't let anyone write your promos. For a good promo to come off, you have the bullet points. They tell you, okay, you got to say this, you got to say this, you got to say this. Let them do the rest. Don't hand me a script. And it's just fucking unnatural in me. The shit doesn't never work out.
That's why Kevin Owens works perfectly fine.
Exactly. And it's natural. And he looks natural. I'm not even going to get into Owens because you already know how it feels. Kevin Owens, to me, is the best heel in the business right now. I thought Rollins was doing good as a heel, but the chicken shit running away, and it's just, I mean, Ric Flair was a chicken shit heel, but at the end of the day, he didn't pull the bullshit that
Ric
Rollins
Flair
pulled. Rollins never wins.
Describing his lifestyle and describing his achievement, and he could actually back it up. Even though Flair lost a lot. Flair had the championship victories and all of that. I don't ever see Rollins being the type of dude to where you can look at and be top five ever. Because he would have to become face, honestly.
Yeah, I think he'll be a better face at the end of the day. He's more of a CM Punk type. He can have a CM Punk type run against the Authority. You need Roman. Their role should be completely switched. Because Roman should be the heel, but I guess they see things differently than we do.
I see eventually Rollins is going to end up turning on Triple H. It's going to be Triple H versus Rollins. He's going to go to use the pedigree. He's going to say, fuck that bullshit, and he's going to hit him with the curb stomp, and then the curb stomp back.
And then everybody goes home happy.
Everybody goes home happy. You have Roman Reigns as a heel. Everybody's going to love to hate him.
And then he'll flip the switch, and then we'll have another Rock on our hands. Because the women already
once
love
Roman,
him.
Once Roman Reigns has a successful heel run, he'll be perfect as a face. It's just right now, he's not very believable. He has to earn it.
And but the thing is, even John Cena was a heel at one point, so I mean, it's not gonna hurt the dude at the end of the day to be a heel for a little while, because Cena was even a heel.
Cena had a character too. There are no characters anymore. Maybe Bray Wyatt. That's about it.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Roman Reigns. There's no character to the man. He's just a guy who wears a military vest.
Yeah, there is none. Absolutely none. Ambrose is a psycho. Reigns is a badass. Rollins is a pussy. So it's like, I mean, back in the day, everybody was a fucking character. You go to WWE, back in the day, they'll slap a fucking corrections officer uniform on you, call you the big boss. They'll slap you in there. For God's sakes, they made Terry Gordy the fucking executioner. Terry fucking Gordy of the Freebirds. They slapped a mask on him and called him the executioner. No wonder he fucking quit.
Who was the Godwin Goober?
It was one of the Guerreros.
Is that right?
And he was actually supposed to wrestle, but it didn't work out. But that was one of the Guerreros.
His face is priceless.
Because he didn't know what was in there. That's the funny part. You know, Vince is probably sitting there, damn, pal, that's a great idea. I see him dressed as a turkey.
Vince and his ideas, man, I swear.
Yeah, but the man's at the end of the day, the man's a fucking billionaire, so. What else we got for Money in the Bank? We got the Money in the Bank match. And why is Kofi in it when he's a tag team champion? That I don't get.
I heard on Raw them say something about if Kofi wins, all of the New Day are the Money in the Bank winners.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
So who do they give that one to, Xavier Woods?
I mean, essentially, any one of them can cash in the briefcase at any time.
Well, we know Kofi ain't winning, I think.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, he's not. He's put in there because he's a high spot guy, so he'll dive off the ladder a few times and then probably get speared to death. And we all know who's walking out with that briefcase tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be Roman Reigns. It would be a nice change of pace if he can cash it in tomorrow and we don't have to wait a year.
No, I think if you see at the end of the night, if Ambrose is holding that title up, Reigns' music's coming on. I can almost see it now. It's perfect. I mean, but the thing is, when Brock comes back for SummerSlam, what do you do with Brock?
I read that Brock might be coming back on Raw this Monday. Is that true?
Okay. No, I read the same thing, but with the thing with Brock is you don't know until he shows up.
Right.
I mean, right. Heyman's been there, but he hasn't been on TV, so...
Well, either way, we're going to get our Roman Reigns versus Brock rematch.
Yeah. I mean, we got to get Seth. He has to get his revenge on Seth Rollins. They can't not have him get his revenge. He got suspended because of Rollins.
Kevin Owens anyway, bro.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But what do you think of that match? What do you think the outcome is going to be?
Owens and Cena?
Yeah.
Well, I don't see Owens beating Cena clean. He'll probably end up doing the powerbomb on the turnbuckle like he always does to everyone. Or the ring apron, rather. And that'll be the disqualification. And then he can come out and talk shit about he destroyed Cena, yada, yada, yada.
And then they go at SummerSlam.
And then they go at SummerSlam for the U.S. title, and then Owens takes the title off Cena.
And what Cena's doing by helping build Owens up, I got to commend John Cena, because most of the time, Cena will just straight shit on you and kick out of everything you do and then just pin you.
I mean, look at Rusev. He's a perfect example.
Three in a row. And what's Rusev going to be doing when he comes back, chasing Lana around? Woo.
You know, another person that Tina buried back in the day, and this is when people started to realize that anyone going up against John Cena was about to get shit on, is Umaga, bro.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one, the last man standing match.
Yep.
Didn't he choke him with the ropes?
He chokes him with the ropes, and he ends up being the first one to beat Umaga, just like he was the first one to beat Rusev. John Cena, he's almost like a career killer, bro.
Yeah, and he killed the Nexus, too. And
yes,
that came out of Chris Jericho's mouth when they wanted the Nexus to go over. Cena was the lone holdout and ran to Vince and said, this is what's going to happen. And what happened to the Nexus after that SummerSlam match? Trash.
Only one person from the Nexus ever made anything worth it, and that was Daniel Bryan.
Exactly, because Wade Barrett will be the Intercontinental Champ and lose every match he's in.
Wade Barrett has way too much potential. I can see Wade Barrett going to, like, TNA and being a better force there than in WWE, even though that'll probably never happen.
Oh, they could never let him go, but they're never going to do nothing with him. He's in the same boat as Dolph Ziggler. It's like, what are they doing with these guys?
And then, I mean, that takes me back to all of these NXT cats that are going to end up coming up. What's going to happen to the people who've been there for years, like Ziggler and Swagger?
They'll be pushed to the back, because don't forget, as time goes on, Triple H's people are going to come up, and those are the ones that are going to get pushed. Kevin Owens, I mean, as much as I love Kevin Owens, that's a prime example.
Finn Balor.
That's the Triple H guy, and they're going to push him through. When Balor comes up, when Zayn comes up, when they all come up. But probably a lot of these cats probably don't want to come up. They're having a better time down there than they are up on the main roster. But the main roster is probably getting a little better. But
I mean,
the
main roster tours, but the main roster isn't going to sell out in arena in Tokyo. I'm not saying NXT is, but I'm sure NXT would be a lot more popular than a regular WWE tour, especially in Japan.
Oh, Japan's going to be big. They got that good show. They got that show coming up July 4th. That's gonna be a big show. You got Brock basically wrestling a house show, so that's how you know they're going all out. Brock, I believe, is fighting Kofi.
Wow.
So we all know what's the outcome of that one. Squash.
Suplex City, bitch.
And then you can curse in Japan. Oh, he might not curse in that ring, but it'll probably be a 15-second match. Kofi tries to do a kick. Brock catches him. Suplex. Match over.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what else?
And then
you
I heard
money
that we're going to get... We're going to get Jericho and Balor, too, on the 3rd, and then on the 4th, that's when Balor fights Owens.
Yeah, and then Owens will drop the title because he's main roster full-time now, so there's no point in him having the title.
Sir.
You gotta slap it on Balor so Mojo Rawley can take it.
Oh, yeah, you know, gotta stay hype, bro.
Yeah. Now, I hear he's tag teaming with Zack Ryder now, so.
They have
really
a dope finisher, I must say.
A dope finisher with two horrible performers. Excuse me. What else is on that Money in the Bank card? I don't actually have it in front of me.
Who's fighting for the Divas title? Are we getting Paige and Nikki again?
I don't even pay attention to that, honestly. Not the Divas.
Damn shame.
They're fucking horrible. You got
really
Charlotte
is.
Sitting there. Charlotte and Sasha Banks down there. Becky Lynch. You got all of them down there.
I mean, Sasha Banks is going to have a little bit more time as champ. I could see Becky taking it off of her in a couple months. Charlotte, I don't know what the hell they're doing. To me, Charlotte should have been up once ago.
Yeah, she should have. But when you have a women's match that has the potential to be match of the year in any federation, your main roster divas need to just walk away. Go post for
They're letting these chicks main event the NXT live event.
Yeah, because they tear it down every time. And that goes to the trainer. You got Sarah Del Rey down there, one of the best female wrestlers ever, training them. So they're just putting on clinics. They are wrestling.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see Eva Marie and Rosa Mendez main event in anything anytime soon.
I'll tell you what, and this is the prediction. Eva Marie, give her 6 months with Sarah Del Rey. Eva Marie is going to put on a clinic.
If she
6 months with Sarah Del Rey.
If she's dedicated to do it for real and she's not just there for the look and she really wants to be good, then she can be. Because she has Sarah Del Rey's shit, and she's going to teach her to be dope.
Yeah, because in the beginning I felt that she was all, she just wanted to be on TV and look at me, I'm a diva, da 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 da.
Exactly.
She went down, they sent her to the Performance Center, she didn't quit. So, I mean, shit, maybe she thinks she got a future, so... Hopefully she does something with that opportunity they gave her.
Hopefully. And what do you think of this chick, Dana Brooke?
I didn't see her enough to completely judge. She looks a little too jacked for me, but...
That bitch is scary looking.
Yeah, she really is. Too much plastic surgery on the face.
Way too much plastic surgery. And then with the muscles and all of that, she looks too manly to me, bro.
I still like Blue Pants, so.
Old Blue Pants. I love Blue Pants.
I want to see Blue Pants get a push.
Blue Pants should get a push, bro. She should be the champ.
Yeah. So you see, Jeff Jarrett's GFW made their debut last night with a six-sided ring. Yeah, with a six-sided ring.
Really?
Yeah, and then... In a baseball stadium, they put about 500 people in there, which isn't bad, considering, you know, they really didn't have any big stars on the show, so.
I don't know, bro. I don't see it last.
No, I think Jarrett's pretty, he fucked up. It's not, he got a little in over his head at TNA. He needed Dixie to bail him out. Now you see that mess down there, but, Jarrett could run a company. He just has to do it smart.
I just look at WWE and I look at how big it is, and if you're an up-and-comer, the ultimate goal is to make it there. And with all of the media production WWE has, I don't see how any other company could ever compete, bro.
No, they can't. They'll never compete per se. These competitions, these other companies you see sprouting up, this is the competition for number two. Because you're never ever gonna surpass number one. You gotta have somebody with Ted Turner money come in, and
right.
you gotta have like a star. You need CM Punk to get up with Ted Turner and have the CM Punk promo hour to beat Raw.
I mean, Jerry needs to get his hand on a really, really big name. Because right now, as mediocre wrestlers, if you're a really big fan of wrestling, not just WWE, you know who these people are. But to the casual fan, you're not checking for GFW.
No, not right now, of course. He's just getting his feet wet. He got a good little roster, so. But there's no, huge, there's no names that jump out at you. And I bet you if Punk's UFC career doesn't work out, he'll be back in there. He might go to Ring of Honor, but I can see Jarrett trying to make a run at him. Because you know what? That's instant. That's money right there.
I can see CM Punk, if he doesn't work out in UFC, I can see him looking at the landscape of WWE, seeing who's in WWE now, all of the Ring of Honor people and indie wrestlers, especially Samoa Joe. I can see him coming back for a match.
You think they would let him? That's the whole, I'm sure there's still some hard feelings there. Yeah, that's true. Because Samoa Joe versus Punk is money. Oh, of course. Even though most people be like, oh, he never drew a dime. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Let me tell you something.
When CM Punk beat John Cena for the title in Chicago, you tell me CM Punk didn't draw a dime.
When you cut a promo that ESPN carries, you're drawing you're making money. You're big. I'm sorry. When Jim Rome talks about you, did you see this CM Punk guy cut a promo on Monday Night Raw? That's how you know
CM
you're
CM Punk,
a
man, as good as CM Punk was and as his achievements and his accolades and everything, the machine was always against him.
Exactly, and he did it without the machine, pretty much.
He did it without the machine, and he started getting offers from merchandising companies who wanted to sponsor him, and he wanted to have the short shorts, and he said it in his documentary, and Vince was like, it's an okay idea, and then he gave the idea to Brock.
Yeah, Brock comes out with the fight shorts. Brock has the advertisers on the shorts. I mean, it was pretty much sabotage, I think, but it's all about who you know and who likes you.
It's all about it.
And he had it in the ring. I mean, towards the end, it was sloppy, his work, but if you listen to what he said on the Colt Cabana podcast, he was tired. He was all fucked up. That's why he looked the way he did. That's why he performed the way he did, because he was all fucked up.
Personally, he's not the only one who's on the road. He's not the only one competing 300 days a year. So there's no excuse. You're CM Punk. You're supposed to deliver every single night. And if you can't, then don't be a wrestler.
Yeah, I guess that's why he said fuck it and walked away.
You look
but
at
I'm
somebody
curious,
like Dolph Ziggler that puts it out there all the time, and if you go to a live show, what you see on Raw, you're going to get on that show. And Ziggler leaves it all out in the ring every night. Do you hear him bitching?
No, you don't hear it. He just writes it on his trunks.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's over it. I mean, I thought at Survivor Series this year, I thought this was Ziggler's year. When he was the lone survivor of that match, he pretty much went a good 10-15 minutes by himself, and they did nothing with it.
I mean, they could go and throw us a curveball and Ziggler wins the money in the bank.
Not gonna happen. It's wishful thinking, and dudes like us would love to see that, but it's not gonna happen. I would love to see Luke Harper in that match. I would love to see Luke Harper in that match and win it, but it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan are too busy being the worst tag team in the company.
So let me ask you, why did they break up the Wyatt family?
Why
did
they
break
up the
Wyatt
family? To put it
like why?
That just goes to show how retarded creative is.
Yeah, because you break them up, you put them on their own. They don't do shit. I mean, Bray did his thing, of course, because he's going to do his thing. But the other two, you put them in a feud that doesn't last, and then you put them right back together with no explanation for why they're back together.
Their feud could have worked. Like, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper could have had a feud against each other, but feuds aren't personal anymore. Like, you don't see anybody going to their family's house and invading, like Triple H did to Randy Orton. Like, you just don't see that shit anymore.
You can't do that in PG. I mean, remember the freaking Pillman and Austin. Austin bust through his door and Pillman pulled out a pistol.
Ah, the good old days.
Like, imagine if they did that shit now, Raw would not be on the air next Monday.
Oh, yeah.
You'd have reruns of the Westminster Dog Show. It's freaking Roman Reigns, if Dean Ambrose broke into Seth Rollins' house, or whatever. Yeah, let's say Ambrose in home invaded fucking Seth Rollins and pulled out a pistol.
And I can see Ambrose doing it, and you got Michael Cole. Oh my God! Oh my God!
Yeah, and then they just fade to black. That would be hilarious. But then you'll never see Monday Night Raw on TV ever again.
No, but we get Dean Ambrose pushing hot dog carts and doing stupid antics. It's a shame. Ambrose has a lot to offer, too. Even though I love Ambrose, and he'll be all right.
Oh, yeah. No, he's pure gold, most definitely.
So what do you think about Joe, bro?
Oh, I'm definitely a fan. Well, that's the thing. I mean, in NXT, he could pretty much do what he does. I'm worried about when he gets up to the main roster because they signed him to a full-time deal. But the thing is, are they going to let Samoa Joe be Samoa Joe?
Right.
That's what worries me. And, you know, Vince, hey, pal, look at you. You got a little belly there, buddy.
I mean, Samoa Joe in TNA was always upper mid-card and always going for the title. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to be like that in WWE.
No, I don't see him going for the title. I don't see them. I mean, they already got Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens will be in that mix. And I don't see... There's no way I see them. I mean, his window of opportunity is minimal because of his age. And he's been in the business for, what, almost 20 years. So the window is almost, I mean, upper mid-card for a little while. And then I think that's the ceiling for Samoa Joe in WWE.
I can see him having a really big feud with Cena. Kind of like Owens is doing, more like a respect type thing.
Yeah, but then you got to turn one of them heel, and we know Cena's not turning heel.
Yeah, Cena's turned heel left years ago.
It would have been good, but I mean, it would have breathed new life into his character. You could have kept him, could have turned him heel, it'd have kept him relevant for another 5 years. But it's too much money on the table if he turns. I mean, people are still gonna buy his merchandise. But they're worried about
him. I would have liked to have seen Cena as a heel during the Nexus. When they ended up making him join the Nexus and all of that stuff, if he would have embraced it and turned heel and just got vicious, that would have been pretty cool.
Yeah, and then led them and it basically kicked Wade. That's an opportunity to make Wade Barrett a star. You have make Cena joining Nexus, he embraces it, he gets vicious, and basically they kick Wade Barrett out. Boom, Wade Barrett's an instant face, and you can build him and make him a star. What'd they do? Buried him.
Buried all of them.
Pretty much, except Daniel Bryan. And he's still there. He's still getting a paycheck.
I never see David O'Tunga.
Let's see, that'll be the next trivia for the next episode. When was the last time David O'Tunga was in a meaningful match?
He was at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he was in the crowd. No, he was backstage.
I thought that he was in that big,
Was he in the Battle Royal?
I think he was.
Oh, you know what? He was. Okay, yeah, he was. Like, what the fuck is he doing? And then you don't see him again. I mean, I can care less about David O'Tunga, honestly, at the end of the day. Like, I think he's average at best, but
David O'Tunga's claim to fame is I Love New York.
Yeah, pretty much. And his claim to fame now is Jennifer Hudson. And they're gonna still use that.
Right.
And the funny thing is she don't even want him wrestling.
She don't want him wrestling, and it's not like WWE acknowledged that he's with her. So he's kind of just there.
And that's a spot for somebody who can. That's a spot for somebody who can benefit from being there. You know, you got all these indie cats out there. That's a spot for what you're paying him. That can go to somebody else. You know.
I'm looking forward to Yuhan Nation, man.
Yeah, that dude is gonna be something special. He's built like a fucking brick house, and he can move. If Kevin Owens can
really
move like that, man, when you see Uha Nation, he's a muscle-bound dude. But when you see how that dude works, forget it. Mouth will be open.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and he's what? Almost 300 pounds.
And he's
pure muscle.
And that's a big misconception people are having nowadays. Like, you have to be a flippy-type wrestler to be a good wrestler.
Well,
that's
basically an indie show. That's why you're not going to see a lot of these indie guys go right to the main roster because they basically got to teach him his business is not all about flipping and high spots every 2 seconds.
I mean, you look at Kevin Owens, he's a perfect example, man.
Yeah, but he picked it up, grasped it, and look where he's at now. Beats John Cena clean on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, he's taking the WWE style, and he's doing really well with it. I'm really happy
for him, man. Yeah, exactly. I've been watching this dude for years. One of the best feuds ever with Generico. And it's just, like, we're going to see, I mean, we saw some of it already with him and Sami Zayn, but I think down the road we're going to get that year-long feud. Again.
It's hard to be a Sami Zayn fan.
It's hard. I mean, the dude has been getting hurt. His luck hasn't been that great so far, but, I mean, do I see him going, winning the title, being a main event player, upper mid-card maybe, but, I mean, he's still that dude.
Sami Zayn is going to be Daniel Bryan, essentially, because he's going to develop the fan base organically.
Oh, of course, of course. But he should, I think he should give El Generico a run in the fucking, I would like to see El Generico at least once. You got to acknowledge the ole, ole, ole. I was at the PWS show last week, and they were doing the ole, 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 and Sami Zayn wasn't in that building, so.
You know you're
when you got
a
whole
crowd. You're not even in the building.
Exactly. That was like I went to a TNA show a couple years ago, and the crowd was doing yes, 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 son. I'm sitting there going, you know you're over when you're in a whole different company show. And they got some chant going.
I was on YouTube and I was looking at some recent TNA clips, like Drew Galloway, formerly, what the hell was his name in WWE?
Festus.
The Chosen One. What the hell was his name?
Oh, no, Drew McIntyre. I'm sorry.
Drew McIntyre. Exactly. Anyway, he was doing his thing in TNA, and he's part of a little group. And they were cutting the promo, and the fans were in the crowd, and they're saying, yes.
Yeah, I can't even tell you the last time I watched TNA. Well, nobody has that damn station. That's number one. But I haven't even looked. I could care. Honestly, TNA, I could care less. Like,
I mean,
I heard
TNA,
the product's been better.
TNA was great in 2006.
Yes, and that was the beer money days. And
well, that's even before beer money. Like, that's like...
Oh, that was before beer money?
AJ and Chris Daniels were a tag team. And that's when James Storm was with the other dude. I forgot his name.
Oh, okay, yeah, the Wildcats. Wildcat Chris Harris.
The Wildcat Chris Harris, exactly.
Who lasted a whole 2 weeks in the WWE's Braden Walker.
Braden Walker.
He got signed by the WWE. He gained like 75 pounds, wrestled one match, and they cut him.
He was a super heavyweight.
Yeah, Braden Walker. I'm like, who? I was like, oh shit, that's why. Okay, Chris Harris. And then they brought him back to TNA. They brought him back to TNA when Matt Hardy was feuding with Beer Money. And he
goes, I got a surprise partner.
And it was fucking Wildcat Chris Harris plus 75 extra pounds.
And then I think that's when him and James Storm ended up having that feud, right?
Yeah, for a short time.
They had some pretty good matches.
That was the infamous Ric Flair Bladen night because it was at a cage match. And the camera showed Flair, and the camera went to Flair, and he was just blading away.
Ric Flair, man. He was the best at blading.
Well, somebody take this guy to the hospital.
That's Resurrection 2003.
That's always good for a laugh. Will somebody take this man to the hospital?
It's like 2 minutes into the match.
2 minutes into the match, Flair's busted open. Like, how the fuck is he standing? He lost, like, fucking 8 pints of blood.
And then he ends up coming back out, and I think he gets busted open again.
And then I think didn't that lead up to him versus Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania?
And no, they I don't think they didn't fight at WrestleMania. I think they fought at another pay per view.
Wait, Flair and Shawn Michaels did fight at WrestleMania.
Flair and Shawn Michaels? Okay,
yeah,
no, it wasn't
Shawn
that year.
He retired.
Yeah, no, it wasn't that year. Flair was a face that at that point.
That's
and he
right.
was going through
That's
the
right.
that was the whole if you lose once you're done. And so he went on that winning streak and then Vince was like, oh, I'll put something in your way. You're going to have to fight Shawn Michaels. He didn't want to do
and
it.
Then that's when Shawn Michaels said, I love you, and kicked him in the face.
Exactly. What they should have did was, what would have been good for that, was give Ric Flair one last run with the title. That would have been a way to go out.
They ended up giving him the Intercontinental title in the mid-2000s.
Yeah, but no, one last run with the World Heavyweight title or the WWE, because that's when they had the brand split, so one last run with one of those titles would have been great, but because I think Austin presented that to them and they shut him down. Austin was like, give Flair a run with the title before he retired.
And then Flair ended up going to TNA.
And then he goes to TNA and gets back in the ring again. But in let's say in TNA, Flair had one of the greatest promos ever with Jay Lethal. When Flair was losing his fucking mind.
Yo, big up to Jay Lethal, man, because he is very, very talented. He can do Ric Flair. He can do Macho Man. He's really, really good.
If anybody listening, go check out on YouTube. Go to YouTube and pull up Ric Flair versus Jay Lethal. That shit is one of the funniest promos you're ever going to see. Because you'll see classic Ric Flair losing his damn mind.
I mean, you'll see Ric Flair elbow his coat. You'll see Jay Lethal give his coat to knee drop. They're just screaming at each other. It's hilarious, man.
Yeah, it's just a mess. And that's gold right there.
And that's
just
TNA. That's good, bro.
Yeah, now it's... I haven't watched it. I can't judge it, so... But I heard it's getting good. It's better than what it was. Like, they actually stick to storylines now. They don't just go 50 different ways. And they're actually focusing on characters now. But we'll see. Because once they lose their TV deal, it's a wrap.
And now that Destination America has Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor.
It's not looking very good for TNA.
No, not at all, because if Ring of Honor delivers the strong ratings, TNA's done. They're going to give them that spot, and they're going to tell them, okay, off the network. And where else are they going to go?
I would really, really would like really, to see really Ring like of Honor get big, man.
No, that would be great, Beam, and the partnership with New Japan, with all that. There's so many ways they can go. The only thing is they just need the TV time. But right now, these episodes they're showing are not first run. They're not really new episodes. These are basically rehashes of stuff they show on their local show.
Okay.
So it's but
I mean,
it's getting
I don't
the product out there.
I don't know anybody that does have Destination.
No, I don't have it, and I got files. I don't even have El Rey.
Wow.
The only time I get to see that and Lucha Underground is on YouTube.
Lucha Underground is awesome, bro.
But the thing is, they don't know if they're coming back either.
Yeah, they do it in season.
Yeah, it's a season, but they don't know if they'll have the money to do another season because each episode costs $400,000 to make, which is insane.
Yeah, that is kind of insane.
That's insane for a wrestling show. I mean, this isn't WWE, but I mean, the backstage segments are like better than you'll see on WWE.
I love the backstage segment. It looks like one of those classic Spanish novellas that your grandmother used to write. And not for nothing, Alberto Del Rio is perfect for it.
Yeah, and he puts on a show, but the thing is, will they be back? That's the whole. I mean, it's a good concept. It's different. I mean, I don't like the whole wrestling thing being seasons because wrestling's a year-round thing. You don't just Okay, there's no off season in wrestling. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess it gives the wrestlers a bit off time. You go hard for a few months and you put on a lot of shows, and those will fill out a few months in terms of a TV time, and then you get a few months off.
Well, you know, none of them are going to be off. They'll all be working the indies, so.
Exactly.
But, I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, I like the concept of it, but the thing is, they need to be on a better network for more exposure. Like, try to get on, like, I don't know how hard it would be to try to get on, like, a CW or is Channel 9 UPN still? I don't even know.
No, I think Channel 9. Is it My 9?
My 9?
Yeah. Well, the My Network, whatever it is. Try to get
My
on a
network,
My Network.
There it is.
I mean, that's getting a prime time slot on there. I mean, shit, this is worth a try. I don't know if they tried, but, I mean, you get a wrestling show on one of those networks.
It's been a while since
we've
had a wrestling show on Basic Cable.
Exactly. Not even Basic Cable, regular television.
Yeah, just like Channel 11 or whatever. I think SmackDown was on CW for a good minute, but after that, I don't remember anything else.
No, back in the day, NWA was on Channel 2 at 11:30 on Sundays, I mean Saturdays. And you had WWE on Channel 5 and Channel 9. That was it. And you turn on the Home Shopping Network, you got World Class Wrestling for like an hour a week. And there's
nowadays,
Lucha
we
Libre
have
on
internet, bro.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. But I turn the volume down and watch Lucha Libre. Yep. Like, I don't know what they're talking about, but this shit is good. Definitely good.
I hear that WWE's trying to reach out to AJ Styles, man. What do you think?
If they get AJ, that's a steal, but for what they would probably pay him, he's making way too much now wrestling on the indies for what they would give him. I mean, he's the New Japan champion. He's another kind of champion. He's got like 5 belts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would love them to get AJ, but I don't see it. Not for him to go to NXT.
I mean, he's making good money. He's working the schedule that he wants to work. He's already 36, 37 years old. He's another one where the shit may have failed. I mean, as a fan and as a mark myself, I would love to see AJ Styles in WWE. I would love for him to have a WrestleMania moment.
I mean, we saw Sting, so that was a plus. I mean, we saw him with Joe.
Don't get me started on Sting, man.
Yeah, but I mean, we saw him. He was there. He got a huge deal.
Yeah, we saw him.
We saw him. He's making his money. I mean,
we saw him get the shovel, son.
Yeah, real quick too. The Triple H shovel strike again.
He got the shovel. He got the classic treatment,
bro. Yeah, that was. He's like, okay, you were the last one of them. You were the last holdout. Watch what we do now. And they get Shawn Michaels.
Damn, Sting is top 5. Period. I don't give a fuck.
No, of course, most definitely. But we'll see. But I would love to see AJ in a WWE ring. Will it happen? Probably not. But like I said, I'd like to see the Young Bucks there too. But they even said it. They said we're making way too much money.
Yeah, man. The Young Bucks are living the dream, man. They're walking around. They're doing the DX chop shop. They're going around. They're doing the click shit. They don't give a fuck. And they're making good money. And they know that if they come to WWE, all of that shit ends.
It's going to stop. Yeah, they're going to be Daryl Milton and Barry Milton.
Exactly.
No, or Daryl Buck and Barry Buck. I mean, I would have loved to see the Briscoes. I would have loved to see the Briscoes. The crazy Briscoe missing the tooth and the fucking big afro, he would have been perfect for the Wyatts.
Yeah, but Vince would have made him the next coming of the Bushwhackers.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah. They'd have walked to the ring marching.
That would have been fucking hilarious. I'm still on pace for having my, what I say, give Rusev a year, he'll be dancing in the ring with Santino. I mean, Santino's not there, but Rusev is on his way to dancing.
Oh, yeah. Rusev's on his way to dancing.
Curtis Axel's on his way out the door. Curtis Axel's on his way to TNA.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, he's on his way to TNA, and that, I mean, shit. For him to be Kurt Hennig's son, it's just, I mean, the dude can go in the ring, but he has absolutely zero charisma.
No charisma at all. And he is great in the ring, man. I mean, Curtis Axel, he has shades of his father sometimes. He wasn't as good as Mr. Perfect, but he's a great technician. He just can't do
exactly.
With a microphone.
No. He was a Heyman guy for a second, and it was perfect, but of course, what did they do? He's with Heyman for, what, 3, 4 months, 5 months, and then he's not.
You know, Heyman said something interesting when he was on Austin's podcast about, I think Austin asked him who's going to be the next Heyman guy, and Heyman said, it's hard to have another Heyman guy, because everyone looks at Paul Heyman as Brock Lesnar's guy.
Exactly.
So whoever ends up being the next Heyman guy, eventually they're still going to be in the shadow of Brock Lesnar, regardless.
Yeah, even though that's why they tried it, because, okay, we'll have something for Paul to do while Brock's away. Because, you know, you're only going to see Brock 4 times a year, if that. So we'll have something for you to do, but the shit just never works. The shit just never
now,
works.
There are a couple of people who would be perfect Heyman guys.
Exactly.
And if I had to ask you, who do you think would be the five best Heyman guys?
Five best. Let's see. Roman Reigns. Finn Balor. Kenta. Let's see who else. Maybe Neville, because he can't really work the mic that good.
Even though Neville didn't sit on Raw, when he got in the ring with Owens and Cena, and he grabbed the mic and he started talking about Owens and how he has no respect, I saw it in Neville.
Okay, yeah, he had it there a little bit. And I'd say Baron Corbin would make a great Heyman guy.
Baron Corbin has really weird arms, bro.
Yes, he used to be fat.
Like,
if you pull up,
look at the way he stands. He looks really fucking. He just looks weird, man. There's something about Baron Corbin. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a little awkward, but I mean, he's gonna be good. He's one of the ones they want on top. So he just needs
but
a little.
But he's another one, man. He's just not doing his thing on the mic. I remember when him and Bull Dempsey had that feud a few months ago, and he grabbed the mic, and Baron Corbin's going to speak for the first time, and the NXT crowd gets quiet, and he just looks at Bull Dempsey, and he says, "So you're just going to stand there, bro?"
Horrible.
Bad Baron Corbin with one of the best entrances in NXT, and that's all you got, bro?
Yeah, he sure ain't no Enzo. He sure ain't no Enzo. It looks like...
I mean, Owens is one of a kind, man.
Oh, definitely. But it looks like we are running out of time for this week's episode. So it's been a good first one.
It's been a good first one, man. Every Saturday, we're going to get it, bro.
Yeah.
I encourage everybody to keep listening.
Yeah, just keep listening, calling. I didn't even give it a call-in number, so oops. Oh, shit. Growing pains, hey. But we're going to get out of here. It was a good first one. Thank you all for listening.
All right.
Every Saturday we'll be here, so look for us. Look for us on Twitter, at NJW Show. Hit us up on our Facebooks. And we will see you next week. So, my dude, I will catch you.
All right, Mr. P. This is a generic dude signing off. Next week, my dude, I'll see you.
Next week, enjoy.
All right, later.